Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024. Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yo, this is Spurscast, episode 555. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of the Spurscast. Joining me on this episode is pounding the rocks, Bruno Passos. Bruno, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I was a little jealous that you and several of our reporter friends got to attend Saturday's game, Spurs' first preseason game, and I couldn't watch it because I had a family obligation, unfortunately. So how was it? Just kind of quick thoughts on how was that Spurs Magic preseason game?
It was very much preseason basketball, I guess. Rickety play, especially like in the half court. A lot of guys, I think, who don't have much experience playing with each other. Pop obviously going really deep in his rotation with some of these unguaranteed contracts, and with the guys who got the scratch that we can go through, guys like DeMar DeRozan and Patty Mills. Pop really just kind of left the floor to the young guys to go out there and just do their best. So it was an unfamiliar group of players, I think, sharing the floor for most of the time. So that's what you really got. And with him kind of DeJounte Murray coming back in and him having the ball in his hands for most of the time, it was some good, some bad, but not a lot of compelling team basketball, as even though there were some fun takeaways on an individual basis.
Yeah, so Spurscast listeners, you know, as you just heard there, you know, I wasn't able to attend the game, so I really wanted to have somebody's perspective who was actually there in attendance and kind of got the feel for the game and how it was produced. And Bruno is that person, so that's why I've asked him to come on here, and he's going to provide us with his insight on that evening on Saturday. So as Bruno just mentioned here, the Spurs did lose, 125-89 in their first preseason game. As he mentioned, several players were out for them. Like he mentioned, DeMar DeRozan, should I say. Patty Mills was out, Marco Bellinelli, Damari Carroll, and also Trey Lyles. So a few of those players are players that are going to be in the rotation. So as Bruno mentioned here, a lot of those younger players did get some minutes. Bruno, one person you talked about that I really want to focus on first of all to begin this conversation is DeJounte Murray. In his return, I looked at the box score and I saw a few clips online that people were posting. He finished with 11 points in 14 and a half minutes. He only played in the first half. He grabbed four rebounds, dished four assists, two steals, two turnovers, two fouls. He shot 3 of 7 on paper, but when you actually look at his jump shots, he went 2 of 4 on mid-range jumpers, on jumpers overall, and he made one of his 1 3-pointer. So my question to you, Bruno, give me some context on these jumpers. Were they like coming off a pick? Was it, you know, a catch and shoot? What you saw in terms of these jumpers?
Yeah, for starters, the jumper looks good. I think that's what we kind of were hoping a year ago when he was coming, coming off of that really good 2017-18 season. And we'd seen some of the off the summer stuff, and it was the stroke was looking good, more fluid. And this is sort of a carryover from that just 12 months later. So in the game itself, it was a lot within the flow. So pull-ups in mid-range, that happened pretty naturally coming off screens. The 1 3-pointer was just a catch and shoot, but again, it looked really fluid, just confidently, without forcing it, but also without kind of being tentative with it. Just caught it from the left side, shot it from top of the arc and switched it. And it all looks really sustainable. And it's one of the probably the most encouraging takeaway from all of the first preseason game was just watching DeJounte in action and just seeing some of these things that suggest actual not only just health, a return from health from the injury, but also actual strides in his game that we were looking for a year ago.
Now, in regards to, you know, I see here that he took a few layups. He missed the majority of his layup attempts. You know, that's not too concerning, especially his first game back in a year. He also had four assists and two turnovers. Now, the responsibility, I read your article. Bruno wrote Spurs cast listeners. His latest piece is on poundingtherock.com called Spurs' Preseason Opener, headlined by Youth and Happy Returns. You should go check that out. That has a lot of insights from Bruno's, you know, his sights at the game. So, Bruno, in terms of the ball handling responsibility, yeah, just the responsibility. Was a lot of that because do you think DeMar wasn't there, and do you think it's going to change a little bit when DeMar does get back on the floor with him?
More than likely, yeah. And I think DeRozan was a late scratch. He was not announced early on as one of the guys getting rest, but they updated those that injury report and added his name to it. And it felt like it was all sort of part of the script to get DeJounte back his first game and, yeah, just let him feel things out and just own the offense. And whenever he was on the floor, everything really went through him. It was it wasn't pretty at times because it was really kind of basic sets, a lot of pick and pops and pick and rolls and just kind of basic reads for him, and not a lot of all five guys getting involved in the action. But it allowed him to settle in, and it's hard to say kind of what the offense is actually going to look like still with a full healthy squad. But this was all about just him getting his feet wet, and he was extra aggressive, which was good. You know, he didn't shy away from contact, but at the same time, those finishes around the basket didn't all look, I think, as they're going to look in the coming months when he's feeling better, when he's really got his legs under him. We still saw some good strides. There was a nice kind of up and under move to the rim where he just blew by the closeout and finished nicely. So it's as much as anybody could have really hoped for, I think, optics wise, and the numbers, you know, they're good as well.
Yeah, especially when you talk about that one up and under move that he had, that 1 foot layup he made. You know, that's really impressive. He got by like two or three guys on that play, and this is speed. I mean, you still see that after that ACL injury that kept him out for a year, he's still the same DeJounte in terms of his speed and burst, and that's what you really want to see to keep his athletic ability going going forward. So it looks like a good night for Murray, you know, in his first preseason game back in over a year. Now let's shift over to Lonnie Walker IV. You know, with DeRozan out, he did get the start there. He had a pretty intriguing matchup here with Aaron Gordon. Walker had here's where his numbers basically: 8 points, 3 of 8 shooting, 5 assists, 1 rebound, one steal, 2 turnovers, 3 personal fouls in 25 minutes. I really highlighted the 5 assists there. So my question for here is what was that about? Was he actually running the half court on these assists, or was it more like open court play? How did that come about?
A bit of both, but it wasn't really too much stuff that was, I think, designed for him. It was him playing within the flow. A few kind of secondary creation opportunities. One was definitely that I recall in the open floor. There was a really nice kind of no look to Jakob Poeltl, who it was like a really quick. I think he got it from Murray, and then it was almost like a touch pass to Poeltl without really looking, and found him in stride, and Poeltl finished around the basket. But I don't know if that kind of creation is what anybody can expect from Walker game to game, but it showed a dynamic from his game that he is able to bring. And for the most part, he looked good. He did force one drive to the rim where it was just went into traffic, multiple players, and I can't remember if it was just a miss or a turnover, but he had no business doing it. But beyond that, he looked really comfortable. He also had a really nice attack on a closeout where he pulled up and finished just a nice kiss off the glass with Vucevic coming into contest. And he looked good. It was a bit of a tough one for a guy like him, who I think does require the ball in his hands. Given that the offense was working around Murray so much, but he picked his moments, and I think it was a solid showing overall.
What about his defense? I see here he had a guard Gordon. Well, also what I read from your report, and he had four. Gordon finished with 14 points, 3 assists. Was there a lot of 1-on-1 matchup there, or how was his defense overall?
Gordon is a handful for someone like Walker. I don't think he's going to be guarding, like, Gordon is essentially a four, even though he plays the three for the Magic with their large lineup. So it was a bit of a funny thing that, you know, Walker coming in playing, having to play the three position and Gordon playing a little bit out of position, just the way the Magic roll with Vucevic and Jonathan Isaac playing at the five and four. And Gordon's got muscle and a few inches on him, and he made sure to take advantage of that against Walker, especially in the post. So there's a bit of bully ball where Walker's just not really suited for that. But you saw him kind of stick with Gordon and other players on switches on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. And you liked his footwork there. It's the instincts are what you'd expect from a guy really getting his first meaningful minutes probably this season in the rotation. So that'll be a work in progress. But you know, the athleticism's there, so he should be able to stick with more of your traditional threes. But a guy like Gordon is going to be tough for him. Understandably, Gordon's a great player.
This is a really hard question to answer because it's only one game. I mean, one preseason game, actually. But, you know, since Bellinelli was out and since DeMar DeRozan was out, do you think that if this was a full, healthy Spurs squad that Lonnie's even getting any kind of sniffing any kind of playing time right now?
It's really looking like a kind of Walker versus Bellinelli equation right now, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of depth in the wing and in the guard rotation, it'll be interesting to see what Pop does with those two guys. Bellinelli is a bit of a known commodity with his strengths, and what Bellinelli does well, Walker doesn't do well. Bellinelli's just gonna. He's going to stretch the floor and hit some tough shots and bail out the offense. And he's going to move well without the ball. And, he's going to punish defenses with that. Walker's a completely different player. I feel like Walker, when he does get his chances, he's going to kind of resemble Jonathan Simmons in that breakout year where he was kind of a microwave scorer that he didn't really like make sense within the offense as in the system, but he could create in a way that the team needed it. And I think Walker's a similar player, at least right now. It's hard to say what's going to happen there between him and Marco. And I think probably Pop isn't really sure, but I think he probably does feel that Walker is going to need his minutes. So I think we're going to see a bit of a hedge between the two to start.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, that's one of those matchups I'm definitely going to keep an eye on. Let's go to another guy now, and this is Bryn Forbes. He's kind of ruining the, you know, all summer everybody's talking about, we want to see Derek White and DeJounte Murray next to each other in that defensive backcourt. And then Bryn Forbes comes out in his first game, preseason game, and scores 24 points, 9 of 13 overall. Dude was on fire, 5 of 6 from 3. Really, Bryn's going to stop that from happening right now just based on his play in terms of those two guys starting. And, you know, with the team that doesn't have a lot of shooting, a lot of volume shooting, should I say, from three, Bryn's that one guy on the roster who can do that, especially with Davis Bertans gone. Like I said, 5 of 6 off threes. I saw a play where he came off a screen and drilled a three. So, how was Bryn? And also, in terms of his shooting form, shot selection, was it all spot up or was it a lot also variation of like pull-up jumpers too? How was Bryn?
He was excellent. You see what that he's got something that the team is probably just going to need at least for another year. People will talk about Murray's strides as a shooter, and White may improve as well. But what Forbes does, both off the catch and what he's just become such a good pull up shooter, just coming around screens and hitting those threes, which he did had a couple of last night. He's just a real, he can bail out so many possessions that way. He's going to make it really hard for Pop not only give him a similar minute load as last year, but his position as in the starting lineup still makes a lot of sense regardless of what Pop does with all the other pieces. You know, he is an elite 3-point threat, and the fact that he can do it from anywhere, you know, above the break, pull off the dribble, he's looking more comfortable in the pick and roll, not only pulling up and shooting, but also he mixed it up and had some really nice pocket passes to Jakob Poeltl, which I think is a nice little step that he can still make in his game. Like you said, 24 points, had a dunk in transition as well, just to remind people that he's got some athleticism, and he finished a 4-point play in the third quarter. So just as a good game, but kind of shockingly, like, not too surprising when you watch him release the ball with that form. You come to expect him to make it more often than not.
Exactly. And so now let's talk about the guy who that's going to really affect, and that's, like we mentioned right now, Derek White. He had a rough game for his first preseason game to start this year. He finishes with 3 points, 6 assists. That's really good in terms of ball, team production. 1 rebound, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 turnovers. He played 17 minutes. He shot 1 of 9 from the floor, so really didn't have it going. And as I actually just looked at his jumpers, I mean, we're talking missed 18-footer, missed 14-footer, missed 16-footer, made 24-footer, missed 13-footer, missed 26-footer, missed 28-footer. So 1 of 7 on jumpers. Now, I know that we kind of know who Derek White is as a shooter, and he's definitely not Bryn Forbes. That's for sure. And we saw that too, based on last year in the playoffs and then also this past summer with the FIBA team, where he's not really Derek's more of like a rhythm type player, where like if he kind of feels like he has a jumper going that night, he'll take a few more than he usually does. But again, like you were saying, he doesn't bring to the starting lineup what Bryn would bring, which is consistent volume 3-point shooting. A guy, like you said, every time he releases the ball, he's probably going to make it the majority of the time. So what do you think this is going to be for Derek? I know it's just one game, going forward though. Do you think that'll be his position possibly coming off the bench, or what do you think is in store for him?
It's obviously early, but, you do get the feeling that that's where Pop will like him as of now. Murray's minute, not only was it telling that Murray got the start again preseason, but Murray got the start, but his minutes were tied to LaMarcus's quite a bit as well. Mm-hmm. So they would come back on the floor together, and it's a lot of them building that chemistry, working on the pick and roll, pick and pop. And so it looked like there was a meaning behind that and a logic behind that. And so it would make sense then to not have him and White overlap too much, because of their strengths are still kind of redundant right now. Hopefully both can make strides to where they're both just complements and not just players who tilt a bit more towards certain strengths and not others. But for right now, I think we could see White coming off the bench, kind of spelling Murray, yeah. And then who knows what that closing lineup will be if they'll play together or not. But I wouldn't be surprised if we continue to see White coming off the bench right now and playing with that second unit. And again, after what we saw in the playoffs last year and much of the regular season, not a bad thing to have a guy like Derek White coming off the bench.
Yeah, and just so I'm accurate here, Derek and DeJounte never shared the minutes, right? Last night, they never
I did not pay I looked too at the, much attention.
Yeah, I looked in the box score and I never saw them. I never saw that happened, where they played in the same lineup together.
It's very possible that they didn't. Yeah, it was definitely for the experience was very much watching them sort of take turns on the floor, mm-hmm. dominating possession. So there was not much of a chance to see the two of them together, which is going to be really fun when we can. But I don't remember much of it last night, if there was any at all.
Okay. And then this is a little bit more off script, but was there any other player? I mean, I know that we talked about these four guys in the guard position, but was there anybody else in this game that stood out to you from the Spurs that you want to, I guess, note?
Not really. They scored 89 points total. They were down 100-67 at the end of the third.
My gosh.
So it was extended garbage time. Let's see here. Dedrick Lawson played over 20 minutes.
Wow.
And they weren't great. No offense to Dedrick Lawson, who I think is still a young guy. The Pop gave lots of other opportunities. Keldon Johnson played almost as much as anybody, and had the green light to create off the dribble, and still pretty high on what he can be long term. But the shots weren't really falling for him. I think he's got a bit of a ways to go on to learn kind of what to do once he's getting in the paint and meeting guys and around the basket and finishing through contact. So. Understandable that a guy that young is going to have some issues, but no, not too many standouts beyond what's been discussed for them through one game.
Yeah, I see here that Johnson actually took the most shots in the game. 14 shots, man. Rookie debut. 14 shots.
Welcome while you got him.
Real quick on LaMarcus. I know that he only played like 16 minutes. He did make a three. Now, when he set up his pick and pops with Murray or whoever was the guard, did he pop out more than one time to the three-point arc? Or it was just that one time when he shot the shot?
I feel like there was more than once. I feel like there was more than one occasion where he at least, like, you know, extended a bit more than usual, and like you said, that there was that very early look where he attempted and made that three, which has sort of become a bit of a calling card for him. I think he knows that there's a certain expectation to shoot those to keep defenses honest, and it feels like he just looks to get those out of the way early in games. So it's a bit too on brand for his first possession of the game to be that attempt, and for him to not take any more for the rest of the game. So it feels like kind of the vibe that we had last year is going to be more or less the same going into this year, but who knows.
Yeah, and his training camp comment, you know, basically like reminded me of the last few years, and it almost sounded like he was just frustrated with the same question almost every single training camp, where I think it was Mike Finger who asked him, you know, are you going to take more threes, basically, and he basically said, you know, I took some, and just everybody wants to know that. It's like the magic question. So like you can tell that, you know, that response isn't very encouraging, that, you know, he really worked on it or added it a lot more to his game. So I think you're right. He's just going to do those traditional, you know, just maybe take it in the first quarter type of threes and see if it's there or not for the night.
Yeah, we'll see. He even had an Instagram post before last season, right, where he like kind of did a wink, wink that him and DeRozan will be extending their range a little bit, which obviously never happened. They combined for less than 100 three-point attempts, I think, between the two of them. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, again, had a great season last year, so there's nothing, I guess, in the vacuum that's you know, devastating about him continuing to be the same mm-hmm. player, but he's not feeling the pressure too much to change with the times.
Cool. Let's go to our last topic, Bruno. So SpursCast listeners, this is not related to the game, you know, Saturday evening. This is some news that came out on Friday evening. On Friday evening, Shams Charania of The Athletic reported that the Spurs and DeMar DeRozan are discussing an extension, though nothing is imminent. So just some background on this. DeRozan can be in the last year of his contract right now. He has a player option this coming summer for $27.7 million. So if he exercises that option, he'll stay with the Spurs. If not, if he declines it, he can become an unrestricted free agent in a market where there's not a lot of marquee players out there. He would be one of the highest names on the market in terms of profile and just you know, standing and stature. So, you know, some details. Both sides do have until June 30th to come to an agreement. And if they were to come to an agreement, the most they could give him is 4 years, up to $150 million, according to The Athletic. So, Bruno, this kind of extension kind of took place a few years ago with LaMarcus Aldridge, where he was coming into close to the end of his contract. And the Spurs and him, right during the preseason, they came to an agreement on an extension. And, you know, it was a good extension where it's not even fully guaranteed in that last year. And it was always the thought process of, you know, he's got security in San Antonio, but if down the line they want to look to trade him, well, then it's a good attractive contract to move as well. That could be the game plan. So do you think that could possibly be a situation with DeRozan right now?
Yeah, obviously with the Spurs, we don't see these things coming too often. So there's probably something to be said for Shams picking up on it and dropping that news last week. But, you know, it's hard to say. I think we were discussing earlier about how, like you said, the similarities between this and Aldridge, and it shouldn't surprise anybody if it actually takes place. And if it is a number that, you know, maybe a little bit higher than most fans would be comfortable with, but at the same time, one that ends up being just fine in the end. The Aldridge contract obviously has been great value. I think solid value for the Spurs. Aldridge has played extremely well with it, and some fans may have not been too excited when it happened. So I think that's probably the best way for people to brace themselves, and we'll see. If it doesn't happen before the start of the season, then it may drag on. You know, it's just one of those things with the Spurs where it's prepare for, you know, whatever could come, and, you know, look at the contracts that have been handed out in recent extensions, and, gauge your expectations accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah, and really, you know, you don't really start to worry about this in terms of the contract extension until like February comes, and that's when the trade deadline's coming. So, you know, if they don't have any kind of deal done then, well, then you might start to worry, you know, maybe there's a possibility they trade him, or they even if February passes and they don't trade him, well, then again, like I said, they have until June 30th to come to an agreement with DeRozan and his group. So we'll see what happens. Thanks, Bruno, for joining me on the SpursCast episode 555. SpursCast listeners, if you're on Twitter, you can follow him at BouncePassos. Again, his Twitter handle is at BouncePassos. If you want to read his work, it's over at PoundingTheRock.com. His latest piece is called Spurs' Preseason Opener, headlined by Youth and Happy Returns, again by Bruno Passos. Also on Project Spurs, make sure to check out Three Thoughts Following the Spurs' Preseason Opening Loss to Orlando by Steven Anderson. And thank you to Michael DeLeon for mixing and producing this episode. So for Bruno Passos, I'm Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.